With society's endless expectations upon you and mental health and anxiety issues on the rise, finding your true authentic self can be challenging. Being your true self is a key and never a mistake, because you are not a mistake. You are you, unapologetically. Join Dr. Kim R. Grimes as she creates a safe space and initiates influential conversations about you being you. Listen to discussions featuring step-by-step guides, techniques, and principles that you can sink your teeth into about uncovering your greatness, triggering a mindset shift, and living beyond your limiting beliefs. The time to connect with who you were created to be and fall madly, in love with you starts now. Here's your host, Dr. Kim R. Grimes.
Okay, you guys. Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Yay You. That's why I said Yay You, because you are you unapologetically. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge our wonderful supporters. Thank you, guys. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all that you do. I am so, so grateful. And again, thank you. Because the time that you take to listen and to watch our podcast, we do not take it lightly at all. So we're grateful. So I'm sending you all a big hug, a big air hug. There you go. All right. So if you've been following along with us, you know our topic is the weight of words, the weight of your words, that is. So let's just jump into the episode and get this conversation started. All right, now. So I want to say, you guys, again, we're still in our series. And if I'm not mistaken, this is our third guest. I might be wrong, right? Because, you know, sometimes I'll be forgetting stuff. I think this is our third, if not our fourth, guest on our topic. So you guys know how we do things. But anyway, I want you guys to sit tight, right? Relax, because we have an awesome guest in the house. Yes, yes, yes. I can't wait. I can't wait. Okay, so let's do this. Let's just jump in, all right? So here is what I want to say to you. When it comes to strangers, first acquaintances, or people that we do not know, what do you say to them? Do you watch your words? And when it comes to people that you're more intimate with, like you're in a more of an intimate relationship, like your family members, your friends, people you love and who love you back, right? What do you say to them? And do you watch your words? Because words are very, very, very powerful. And our discussion is just how powerful, it's on just how powerful words are and how you use your words. So like I said, they're powerful. Words are powerful. And we know that the more intimate the relationship, the heavier the words can become. And the greater the capacity to wound or leave a mark or a scar. Even words that are left unsaid. See, words that are left unsaid or phrases, they also have a potential to impact the trajectory of a person's life. They do. See, I have been a witness on numerous occasions of people who have been in breakdown. They've been in tears because of a phrase they never heard. They never heard their mother say, "I love you." They never heard their father say, "I'm proud of you." Things that they've never heard. They never was told, "Thank you," right? "I appreciate you," or "I'm sorry." These people were in breakdown because of unsaid words. So my point is this. Like I said, words are powerful, but words carry weight. They do. They carry weight, which leads me to ask this question. How heavy are your words? How heavy are your words? Now, because I'm a Jesus follower, I use his word to anchor my topics. And so not putting it on anyone, but this is what I do. So There's a Bible. There's a book that's called the Bible for those who are not familiar with it. And they have different books in there. And I'm coming from Ephesians 4, just so you guys know. Ephesians 4, 29, it says this. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And Proverbs 18, 21 says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. So James says, remember this, my dear brothers and sisters. And he's in the first chapter of James, verse 19. He's saying everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and should not get angry easily. James also said the tongue is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. He goes on in James 3, 7 to 8 and says, humankind can tame beasts, they can tame birds, reptiles, and the creation in the sea. Yet, we cannot tame our own tongue. The scripture says, no man or woman can tame the tongue. And so James describes the human tongue as an unruly evil that is full of deadly poison. And we use this tongue. We use our tongue to create and speak words, right? So since the beginning of creation, our lives has been shaped by words spoken to us, over us, at us, and about us. Words spoken, and like I said before, unspoken. They shaped our childhood. They shaped our relationship. They built, they undermined, they destroyed, and in some instances, they rebuilt marriages, right? Words spoken to us, at us, over us, have impacted our confidence so much so that they determine to an extent who we really are or who we see or actually see in the mirror. This is words. This is what words do to us, you guys. So how heavy was the word spoken to you? How heavy are the words you speak? Have you ever been crushed by someone else's words or by what they said to you? If so, then you know what I'm saying. You get exactly what I'm talking about. I really want you guys to know that none of us are exempt. We all have been injured or crushed in some form or fashion, in some way, by other people and the words that they choose to use. So again, words carry weight, and words spoken and unspoken can leave marks. They can leave marks for good, and they can leave marks for bad. They build up, destroy, words discourage, and they inspire. But sometimes words will wound our lives so much, right? Including mine, to the point where we can't let it go, right? And like I said, we've been shaped in some form or fashion to some extent by words that are spoken to us. No ifs, ands about it. Spoken in your life and in my life, right? This is what we all have not been exempt from, what we all can have a conversation around. This is what we can do. And so the lives that has been shaped also by words that we didn't hear, that was never said to us as well. So here's the thing, you guys. Here's what I'm talking about. We are all quick to recognize the power that other people say, the words that they say to us. We're real quick to recognize. We can go back and say, I remember when you said, I remember, or I remember you never said this. You never said this to me, right? But we're so often very slow to recognize or to admit the fact that our words, my words, spoken and unspoken, have equal power in other people's lives. So just like their words will impact me, my words can impact them. And it isn't easy to admit. So the easy part is that we've been impacted. What's not easy to admit is that we impact other people's lives with our words. And like I said, we're quick to remember those words that were said to us, especially if they were hurtful, especially if they were damaging. We're quick to that. But when it comes to you and me, when it comes to the words that we say that hurt people, we make excuses. We make excuses such as, this is just who I am, right? Or I'm just being honest. Or those are just words. Come on now. We know, and you know, that words have weight. And when you say things that are hurtful, they're not just words, right? So it's further from the truth when you say that. Consequently, here's the thing. We don't want to be honest with the fact that we use our words irresponsibly. We do. We use them, and we don't want to own that stuff. We don't want to own it. We want to blame, right, and point fingers. And we have all said, well, it wasn't on purpose. Well, not all of us. That's usually what we hear. It wasn't on purpose. But we know that's not true either, because we have all been irresponsible with our words. And when we're irresponsible with our words, we just don't want to understand or realize or recognize or embrace the fact that they do carry weight. When we speak them, they're going to land on somebody, and they may land heavier on them than what you intended, right? Or what you thought they would. And so we need to make sure that we're mindful of the words that we speak. But not only that, I want to make another point. I want to make a point that says that negative words weigh way more than positive words. And so studies have proven, like, words that are spoken in a relationship, just platonic relationships, what they're saying is that if you say one negative word to someone, it's going to require 5 to 9 positive words to counterbalance that negative word. 5 to 9 positive words to counterbalance that negative word. I just want you guys to be clear. But here's what I believe. I believe in an intimate relationship, such as a marriage, right? A relationship with a parent and their children or their child, in a relationship with your brother or your sister or your mother or your best friend. I don't think it's 9 to 5. I don't think it's 5 to 9 words for that negative. I believe it's 25 to 30, right? 25 to 30 positive words you will have to say to counterbalance that one negative word that you said to your mom, your dad, right? Your spouse, your best friend. So I just want to point that out. So what negative words are you saying to those who are around you? What negative words are you saying, especially to those who you say you love? What negative words are you using? Here's another point I want us all to ponder, right? The source determines the weight. Who's saying it? It determines the weight. The source of the word determines the weight of the word. When we're in conversation, even more so when we're in conversation with those that we love. See, again, we have to remember. We must remember who we are in the conversation and who do we represent. Who is that person that we're representing to the person on the other side, to the person who's listening and a part of the conversation? Who are we representing? See, that means, like I said, we got to think about, like, who am I? And, like, how does this person see me? What do they think of me? See, all of that has to come in play when we're having conversations, because if not, what people heard and what they feel, right, regardless of what we think, can say and will do some major damage. So we will say something, but you have to think about, what did they hear? And how did it make them feel, right? It can do some major damage in their lives. And when we get it wrong, because we're going to get it wrong, we're going to get it wrong. I need you all to understand that it's irrelevant of the intent. So in other words, when you get it wrong and you turn around and you said that, you know what? That wasn't my intent. That it doesn't take it away. It doesn't stop the pain. It doesn't, right? Like, that's something we can never get back. When we say words, we can never take those words back. There are things that we can say to make it better, and there are things that we say that will make it worse. So your words, my words, our words carry weight, and they are not equally weighted. They carry more weight than you and I think. And like I said, especially in those relationships, right, with our loved ones, they are going to carry weight. And so people we say that we love, people who say that they love us, we have to be mindful. We have to. Because the fact is, we know words, right? They have the potential to destroy and to build up. And all of us, we have been crushed by other people's words. So we all should take it into consideration, knowing what we have experienced, right? With that being said, we all must recognize that we must be good stewards and careful with our words. We have to be, because we're human beings. We interact with other human beings who we care about, and they care about us as well. And especially if you're like me, a Jesus follower, you have to be careful with the words. What is the weight of your words doing to other people? What are the weight your words doing, period? What are they doing to your loved ones, right? What are they doing to your colleagues? Are you leaving a mark? Are you creating unforgivable wounds that will take time to heal, and you're unaware and you don't even want to give the space for the healing? Are you building up or are you destroying? What are the results of your words producing? What? See, that's what we're discussing. That's what we're talking about. This is what our topic that we're going to discuss today. And you guys know we do a variety. We do a topic, but we bring in a variety of guests that can give it, share their experience from different perspectives. And so before we go even further into our discussion, I know I need to introduce you to our phenomenal, awesome, amazing guest, right, that we have with us today. So our phenomenal, awesome, amazing guest is a certified neuroscience transformation and peak performance specialist. She helped leaders, build business owners, and sell experts decode their unique brain signature and transcend limiting habits to activate their flow state and be extraordinary. She has spent over 20 years achieving specialization in neural agility, emotional mastery, and an actionable resilience to empower business owners, sales, and corporate professionals and leaders to reach the next level of success. She fuses her deep understanding of neuroscience with a burning passion for leadership and personal development to help individuals modify their unique inner formula and push through limitations. Having trained with one of the world's top executive coaching authorities, John Matone, who famously worked with and coached Steve Jobs, she masterfully used her certification in intelligent leadership executive coaching and the intensive training of neuroscience and leadership development coaching she received to deliver neuroscience-based strategy that has been tried and tested across the board to help leaders significantly improve performance. Her ability to coach accomplished professionals to overcome their limiting barriers and unleash their potential and attain mastery stems from extensive experience in several areas, including brain-based personal and leadership development, neural agility, emotional intelligence and mastery, and effective communication training. As a pioneer in the brain-driven people development field, now get that, as a pioneer in the brain-driven people development field, she's diverse experiences living in various countries. She has diverse experience living in various countries across the Western European and Western African regions, have put her in an excellent position to serve a global client based with an unparalleled appreciation for cultural, here we go, right, and emotional nuances and the human drive. Outside the professional sphere, she dedicates herself to empowering women and young girls by actively volunteering her time to help them grow and flourish. She is deeply passionate about inner workings of human brain and emotions and is committed to making continual contributions that advance the real world application of insight from the field of neuroscience. See, I told you she was phenomenal, awesome, amazing, right? She is none other than the bomb dot diggity. So please, please, please help me welcome Amazua Isiraman to Yay You. Welcome, my love. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I am so glad that you are here.
Thank you for having me.
So, so glad you are here. You are so welcome. And so you guys, audience who are listening, right, I explained to Omo, because that's what I call her because of, I'm going to chop up her name and I don't want to do that. But she took me through a little lesson and she said, okay, this is how you say it. And I think I got close, but I didn't hit the mark. But it's all good. I'm glad that you're here, my love. So thank you for being here again and again.
Thank you so much for having me, Kim. Really happy to be here.
You are so welcome. So let me say this. Before we actually jump into our discussion, what I want to take place is, please share with our listeners how we met.
We met in what I would say is the most enjoyable, powerful tribe, I would say. You know, we have a joint business development coach, Mary Henderson, and we met in that tribe. It's an amazing space of women who generally focus on being better, being more powerful in what it is we each do. And that's where I met you. And yeah, you've been throne of power ever since.
A regular, right? I'm like furniture now. So you're so on point. It is an amazing tribe. And I'm so grateful that I'm in it. You guys, when you're called out into your greatness and held accountable to for who you are, this is the type of tribe that we both are a part of. And so we're grateful for Mary Henderson to be our coach. So with that, let me ask you this. Please share with our audience, what does it mean to you to be you unapologetically?
I really like that. There was a time I would get up and I would say, Omo. See, I even refer to myself as Omo. Omo. Another day where you are going to be nakedly human. So when you say this, yeah, you, and I just think, yes, being unapologetically yourself, I think it's the biggest gift that anyone can give themselves. But it's a journey to get to that point where you are able to say, I have been up, I have been down, many areas and levels in the middle, fallen back down, risen back up. And I'm just going to really be the way I am, answering no questions that come from outside. The only questions that matter are the ones that come from inside. And for me, that is what it is.
Absolutely. And so thank you for that. It is definitely about you being you, right? And what the title said, unapologetically, you don't have to give anybody explanations or answer any questions or anything. You just going to be you, show up. They like you fine. They don't. That's fine too, right? And just keep it moving. I believe that when we do that, we get to serve the world in what it is that they need, right? We get to serve those people who are around us when we are our authentic self, when we are being ourselves. And so thank you so much for that. So we're talking about the weight of your words, and specifically what I would like to ask you so we can jump into the conversation or the discussion that is that I know that just like I said, we all have been impacted by words in both positive and negative ways. And so what I would love for you to share with us, what are some of the words that you heard that helped shape you into who you are now?
That's an interesting question, though, Kim, because I would say there are those words which, if we have two categories, one being painful words, or I don't know if we refer to them as negative, I like to refer to them as those unresourceful words, which are also part of us developing and growing and becoming who we can be. And you've got then the resourceful ones. I would say I have a combination of both, but for me to really reach that point of knowing what I wanted to show up as for myself, not because I owed it to anybody, but I owed it to myself, was the unresourceful ones. I needed to go through them because there's a lot connected to it. You said that earlier about these negative words and the not so nice things you say to loved ones or whatever. They are also part of the formula. If you don't sit down to actually think about that, to think about them, you're not going to be able to make the choice to say, that really hurt that other person. How did it make that person feel? But also, how do I feel when I know that I use my words to make another person feel that way? So there's a whole range of things that need to be explored. Unresourceful things were, I remember when my mom died, I was 19, my older sister was 21, younger sister was about 11, and my younger brother was 7, 8-ish. And I was told, don't cry. It's just to don't cry. I did not cry properly till 4 years after my mother passed away. So that means 20, 21, 22, 20, around 23, 24 was the first time that I gave myself permission to release myself of those words. Don't cry. Be strong, right? Sounds like, oh yes, I'm motivating because be strong, that is resourceful, isn't it? But even the so-called resourceful things in combination with what is the context, it can have the opposite effect. So what did it do to me 4 years not crying? It meant that I had this invisible cloak on. It meant that I became this secret superwoman, outwardly showing up as something that I wasn't feeling anywhere in, because I was grieving but not grieving. I was crying within, but not really crying outward. And so I would say it's a mixture of both. I've also been told, stop mothering and organizing everything. And then I remembered how that affected my behavior, because I was somebody that was like social, organized gatherings with people. And so then I said, no, stop. People don't want that. But this was all a conversation that I was having within myself. So that's another thing that words can do, because sometimes it's not necessarily, you should love yourself too. A loved one in your life is also you. It's not just family.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. Yes. Thank you for that. Yes.
It's not just family, right?
Yes. Yes. And I speak about that all the time about you. You have to love you first before anyone else will even get it right. Like, they can't get it right. Because if you don't love yourself enough to share and say, hey, this is how you love me, they're going to get it wrong. I guarantee you they're going to get it wrong. So you're so important. And I also said, especially to singles who I work with, is I say, instead of you going and looking to date someone, how about you date yourself? How about you do the things that you need to do for you? And so when you do meet someone, you're clear on all the stuff that you like, love, appreciate, admire about yourself. So you're on point.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that, because it's sort of like, you know, it's, you have to be convincing and just knowing that you can be self-partnered before you actually become partnered with someone else. People should try that. Be self-partnered. You know, instead of sitting there and sulking and having all those words like, I'm alone, I'm lonely, nothing is happening, everybody's living, I'm not. Be your partner. Self-partner yourself. How about that?
So on point. Yes, because like you said, it's important, but, and you hit the nail. So it's not only words. I like what you said here. So we were saying words that you say to someone else, but the words that we say to ourselves, they're heavy too. They have weight as well. So we have to be mindful of that. Yes. I love that.
Yes. The brain releases these amazing chemicals, okay? Hormones, neurotransmitters, and they impact our behavior. Behavior is never just random. If you crave a piece of chocolate, there is something happening in your brain. And obviously there is a need for something. And then you get up and you go and look for it wherever that is. Or you go to the supermarket, wherever that is. Or you go to your neighbor. You know, I never have chocolate in my place. So I go to my neighbors and I'm like, I need it now. And I know she has a cabinet full of it, right? But it is driven by this need for, could be dopamine. You want to feel good. So you need serotonin. And when you eat that chocolate, you get that whole flood. But you can't store these chemicals. And so it's the same thing with those negative words. The ones you say to yourself, I'm not this, I'm not that, I don't have that, I lack this, or that person hurts me. That person said that about me. You never said that, you know, those examples you gave. All of that also releases chemicals. You get stressed, you get tense. Your brain is based in cortisol and whatever other stress hormones. And then what does that do for you? You behave in that way too. And the thing that most people sometimes forget or don't know, when you feel stressed and your brain is the amygdala, I like to call it the inner mind chihuahua. It's always looking out for threat, danger, okay? And then what happens is that you switch on automatically, the fear circuits are switched on. When those words that you just think are words, they aren't just words because they've just switched on the inner mind chihuahua, the smoke detector. Now your fear circuits are on. So you are either freeze, fight, flight, or even faint. I like to add that one, faint. And that is reactive. And when we are reactive, that's when you hurt with even more words. And that ripple effect, I always say the ripple effect that you send out into the world is your responsibility. And never talk around the world, the immediate circle around you or a bit further away. You should always be aware of the magnet, that magnetic ripple effect that you're sending out into the world. You impact the world one way or the other. How can we improve the world if we don't take that into consideration?
Absolutely. Own it. So I love that inner chihuahua.
Inner mind chihuahua.
Yeah, inner mind chihuahua. Oh, I love that.
Just barking. Danger, threat, danger, threat.
And even with fear, I think, not to say people underestimate it, but I don't think they really grasp the power that it has and can have on our lives when we decide to play with it, right? And so thank you for sharing that. I really, really appreciate that. So let me ask you, because you shared, and I appreciate the story that you shared when your mother passed away, my condolences to you and your family, but you shared how that particular situation caused you to feel a certain way and to shut down, right? Where you couldn't be yourself.
For many years.
Right. You were like one person on the inside, but someone totally different on the outside and how what they said. And so I loved how you did it, where you applied it to you and you said, look, the positive words, the negative words, and then even those resourceful words is what you said. So those resourceful words, even though they come across sounding good, be strong, right? But the use of it at the time did not serve you at all. So I really, really appreciate you sharing that. So share with us some of the words that you may have said or said to someone. Like, tell us the story of the words, the negative words, the hurtful words that you said that inflict pain and hurt.
I had a very close friend. We're still good friends today. But it took about 4 years for us to have that discussion. Like I said, my mom died at 19 and I had to become a woman, an adult, a functioning human being trying to find her way in life. I always consider myself, for a long time, I considered myself as a crazy cocktail with different ingredients that I had picked up along the way. And going into my 30s, at some point, I just like, none of it was working. This concoction was not working. And so it has taken that long to really realize, what do I want in there and what needs to get out? So I learned to do things myself. There was no mom to ask. We were far away from home. So when people would say, is everything okay? Don't worry. Don't bother. So I met this friend and she would say, yeah, you know, do you want me to do? No, no, it's okay. Don't bother. Now, I thought that was innocent. Never thought about it. But there is something called emotional mastery, emotions. And emotions also make you feel a certain way because your brain is releasing certain chemicals and you are either being responsive because your PFC, the prefrontal cortex, is able to assess the situation without taking things personally, or primal brain takes over and then you become reactive. Now, I never thought about it. I'm just like, when I say don't bother, it's fine. It's not because I don't care about you. It's not because I think you can't do things. But for a while, we didn't talk for 2 years. And then we did see each other again. And then I remember her saying, you know, it used to hurt me. I just have to tell you this, because it hurt me that you always made me feel as if I was not able to support you in any form or help you. And I was like, what are you talking about? Why would you think that? Yeah, because when I try to suggest something, you would always say, don't worry, don't bother. You always help me. So she felt that I gave a lot, I supported a lot, but I would never allow her help. And so I realized, and this was something I learned from my business partner, Karen Fredericks, about this systemic approach. There has to be an equal amount of giving and taking. Because you may think like, I don't want to take, but I give, and you should be happy. However, how can that person be happy when you are not giving the person the same opportunity to experience what it is to give back? You block that person's flow of feeling like, wow, I'm also supporting, I'm helping. Yeah, it started with don't bother. So 2 years of not talking, and then another 2 years for her to say, I need to tell you this. This disturbed me a lot. And then I read into this and I said, wow, yes, there is a time for something. There is a place for something. There is, for example, be strong in a different place would have worked magic. But when I got it in that combination, it wasn't the right place. And it wasn't the right time. And this giving and taking, and I think that is what it is about. When it comes to words, it's so nice or interesting when I see people being so personal, taking things personal, like, that's what he said. That's the way he said it. It was all of the boss, the colleague, the family, the cousin, the aunt. I don't know. But never assessing, how do you come across? You know how you feel when you get the no, right? Because if you were in an fMRI scanner, it's a huge donut-shaped magnet that can take a video of the neural changes happening in your brain. You can actually see, like, when somebody says, no, 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 don't, right? These researches, they show a substantial increase of activity in your amygdala, the inner mind chihuahua, and the release of stress-producing hormones and neurotransmitters. And these chemicals, they immediately interrupt the normal functioning of your brain, especially those that are involved with logic reasoning, language processing, and communication. Isn't that what words are about? So neuroscience even shows us that words change the brain because they impact. If you don't have emotional mastery, if you've not developed that skill, if you've not developed your, I don't know, self-awareness, ability to self-regulate, my mentor, Andre Vermeulen, said, you can't allow in others what you don't allow in yourself. You just can't. So not only focusing on how you felt, but really to sit down and say, is there a way I talk that impact others that I'm not aware of? You know, I didn't know that. Don't bother. affected someone for 4 years. That's incredible. Is it that it's not an insult? No, don't bother. It's not like I said it aggressively, but for her, it was a big deal.
Exactly. And so thank you for that, because I had shared on the initial podcast of this topic how I went in and I went in hard on my goddaughter, right? And it took 5 years, maybe been a little bit more, but it took at least 5 years for her to warm up to another relationship. But in that time, I had to work on me. I had to do the work on me because I was showing up and I was trying to dodge right there and not face it and not own it, because when the situation happened, I knew I was right. And I was like, no need to apologize. But it wasn't until I went in and start doing the internal work where it showed up and was like, you were dead wrong. Like, you were, there's wrong, but then there was dead wrong, right? And you were that. And so with that, I was able to acknowledge it. And so in my trainings, especially when I'm speaking with young people, I tell them, first, you have to uncover it, right? And even when you know it happened, we're still trying to push it up underneath the rug. So you have to uncover it. And that's what I did. I had to uncover it. And then I had to acknowledge what I did. Like, it's not like, oh, she made me. Oh, she wouldn't have if she didn't. No, I said those things. And I take full responsibility for saying those things. And then you have to own it. And that's where taking responsibility comes in. Like, you own those things that you say, and then you begin to live and walk in it, right? How you are showing up. And when you say something that have impact them in a negative way, such as this situation with my goddaughter, it made me, like I said, look at myself. And then I went and asked for forgiveness. But here's what I did. And I spoke about this as well. When I asked for forgiveness, I gave her the space. I gave her the space to heal. I gave her the space that she need to process whatever it was that she need to process to determine if she wanted this relationship or not. And for me, it was, if you don't, I'm okay with it as well, right? Because I had to do the work on me. And it wasn't just do the work on me just to get the relationship back. It was do the work on me and realize if she never want to speak to me again, I would be okay, because I owned and rectified what it is that I did and how I treated her. And so I just wanted to add that, because I spoke about it as well. And so you made me think of it when you said 4 years, right? Yeah, our words will cause time to go by. And before we know it, we have lived those 4 years or whatever. And we're like, oh my goodness, why didn't you? So thank you so much for that. Now, let me ask you this. What are some of the words that you know you need to say? What are some of the unspoken words that you know you need to say?
I appreciate you. I see you. I hear you. I believe in you. I believe in what you're able to do if you choose to do it. Not just, I believe in you, you're going to be wonderful when you grow up, there are not going to be any problems, you know, all that brainwashing. No, I believe that whatever you choose to do with intention and attention, you will see through. May not be easy, but you'll see through. It's so important to take the time to do that. Everybody's in a rush. Everybody doesn't have time. Nobody has time to send a text message. Every Monday in the morning after my quiet time, I'm like, okay, Omo, five people who you want to wish a great week and weekend. And I just say, hey, yeah, hey, Bella, you know, hey, friend, hope you're doing well. I'm wishing you, hugging you. I see you, appreciate you. Thank you for being part of my life.
You know what? I'm going to piggyback on that, because that's something that I need to do as well. Thank you for that.
It's beautiful, because it also, you know, instead of looking for, like, I need my coffee to feel alive. How alive do I feel when I just have this practice where I know I have taken that time and just said, hey, Bella, you know, I call people Bella, I call them love. I even call some people Chica Boom. People go, what is Chica Boom? I said, well, it's just my way of saying, I love, you know,
right. It's my love language. Right.
Give the girls a hug. Tell them Amal will see them next weekend or whatever. These are friends of mine. They've got two kids and I just like to come play with them. Let's sing. Let's go to the park. Let's work in the garden. These are the little things that you can do to start practicing how to use words. Because people think like it's by practicing that you get better. No, it's by becoming comfortable in repeatedly doing something, even if it doesn't always have that kind of impact that you want immediately, and learning what it means to let go of expectations with the brain in mind. Let go of expectations with the brain in mind, because we all know the brain fears losses. So also, like, we think it's good to say, let go, just let it go. Let it go. I mean, your brain, the inner mind chihuahua is just like, let it go is equal to lose. If I lose, I die. I don't want to die. I don't want to lose. And what are the fears? Loss of finance, loss of status, loss of health, loss of certainty, and loss of love and belonging. But when you say let go, the brain does a lot to keep us alive. The last thing it wants to do is let go. So it's sort of like letting go of expectations. That is a very difficult thing to do, right? Enter a relationship and you expect the person to say, I love you every 5 minutes. Yeah. And then maybe 2 weeks later, it's not every 5 minutes. It becomes every hour. He doesn't love me anymore. And even that expectations, they thought the way you interpret words.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. Absolutely. And you know what? Speaking of expectations, what I tend to share is, as you're saying, letting go of the expectations, I say zero them out, right? Zero them out, because sometimes we go into places or interact with people and we have high expectations of them and they don't perform or they don't meet our expectations, and then we're disappointed. And they're unaware of the expectations. So they're just showing up and doing just normal stuff. They don't know that they have expectations on them.
And it's not their responsibility, Kim.
Exactly.
It's nobody's responsibility. It's not anybody's responsibility to meet your expectation, because those are internal dialogues and formulas that you've built up without actually testing how valid, how feasible, how viable these expectations are. And when you don't manage or learn the skill of dealing with expectations, eliminating them, whatever you want to do with them, you set yourself up for disappointment on a daily basis, multiple times during the day. New managers coming, I expect this. New companies coming, I expect this. All these expectations. Sometimes I tell people, like, sit down and take note of every time you expect something and tell me how many times this expectation was met, especially when it had nothing to do with you, but the expectations of everybody else. I had a client once who said, you know, I made the list and my expectations had nothing to do with me. It always had, I expect him to do that. I expect them to do that. I said, yeah, that's like expecting a banana to turn into a tomato so that you can make a tomato sauce. What kind of expectation is that?
Exactly. Or an orange for orange juice, right?
Exactly. That's just ridiculous. I said, yeah, but that's not the banana's fault if it doesn't turn into tomato, right? That's you and your imagination. So the issue of expectation is never the other people. It is you. Sit down, check those words. What is it you expect? Why do you expect that? And how does it just impact your word? Because when you have expectations, it comes out wrong because they will never meet it.
Exactly. You're so on point. And so thank you so much, Omo. I have one more question that I want to ask before I ask you for your final words or anything like that. Share with our listeners, what is it that you do specifically to manage your tongue and your words?
I wake up every morning. I start it with opening my eyes and saying, thank you. Another day for me to practice being the best good human that I can be today. Learning, growing, apologizing if I make a mistake, and just being human and always putting a smile on people's face in one form or the other. Never feeling too big, too small, too special to do that. Because a smile can change the words going on in another person's mind, isn't it? I pray, I meditate, I journal for a few minutes, and then I also go to my balcony when it's still nice and dark, and I spray my invisible anti-stick spray. Okay, and it's against words, actually. I spray everywhere, and I say, so as I go out today, I do not know who I will meet. I do not know who I will impact. All I know is that as I go out, the only expectation I have of myself is to be the best good human I can be today with what I know, with my experience, with what I'm going to learn, with what I discover, open my eyes, and anything that does not serve me, just let it slide down. That I can let go of. See, because I don't take it. I don't absorb it to start. So
that's amazing. You have been a phenomenal, awesome, amazing. Please, I would love for you to share, how can our listeners and watchers, our supporters, contact you? Do that first, and then please leave them with a nugget or takeaway, something juicy that they can chew on between now and the next episode.
So you can find me on LinkedIn, if you're on LinkedIn, on Mozwa Isiramen, or my website, omoza.com, my name. What's the nugget that I would like to share today? My grandmother always said that don't make labels about you. Don't wear the labels that people stick on you, yours. You don't need to wear them. Never forget what you look like. Never forget how you've been made. We all have a temple, and the universe, I call it universe, higher power, God, he's giving you a temple to take care of. If the universe, God, the higher energy wanted your temple to be in any other form, he would have made it like that. So you just be in yourself and don't wear labels that don't belong to you.
It's wisdom. You share with us some wisdom from your grandmother, which is like, it still is true, right? And it still can apply. So you have been an amazing phenomenal.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes. Thank you for all that you shared. Our listeners and our supporters, I know they got an earful because you gave so much. And so I just want to say thank you for pouring into our support, our community, and sharing what the weight of your words look like, right? And how you were able to uncover, acknowledge, own, and literally live in the words, not those words that's going to harm people and hurt people, but those that's going to empower and lift people up. But one of the things you also said is be mindful of the words, because some of those resourceful words, when said at the wrong time, can have an impact on you as well. Omo, you have been a phenomenal guest. Thank you so very much for saying yes. I appreciate you so very much.
Thank you for having me. It's been an amazing time.
You're welcome, my dear. And I will see you on our next call.
Absolutely. Okay.
Because we got homework to do. Get your homework done.
Yes, almost.
That call I'm talking about, get your homework done. So thank you, my dear. You're a blessing. You're amazing. And I'm so glad that you are you, unapologetically.
Thank you so much. And you too. Bye.
Bye-bye, my love. So you guys, look, I don't know about you, but I'm hyped. I'm excited. What a phenomenal conversation that we had. And so I asked this question because I want you guys to answer this question. So I have to ask it. I ask it as I end every episode. How many words would you say you are away from totally ruining someone else's life? How many words would you say that you're totally away from ruining your own life? or wrecking your own life or someone else's? How many? And I just want you to know it, your list shouldn't be long, because sometimes it only requires one. So we all know it's easy if you're not mindful with words, because our words carry weight. They do, and they're not equally weighted, and the source matters. The source of the word determines the weight, right? Because it matters. And look, pay attention to the negative words, because like I said, depending on who you're talking to counterbalance it, we're talking 9+, right? 9 to 30 words that you have to use to counterbalance those negative words. So with that, you guys know that it is so easy. It's so easy for us to lose ourselves in today's clashing ideas, the conflicting beliefs, and the flood. Oh my gosh, we are so flooded with information. With society's rigid expectations and endless opinions, self-expression and self, did y'all see that? I missed the table. But anyway, self-expression and self-appreciation can feel challenging and daunting. And when this happens, most of the time, what we do is we push it away, or we dumb down, or we run and we hide who we really are, or we just go with whatever that person's saying, or just like what Omo said, we wear that label when we shouldn't be wearing that label. I need you to be clear. I need you to understand that you are you unapology, and that means being true to how you were created and not allowing people's opinions to affect how you show up in life. We all know people are going to talk. So guess what? Let them talk. Just let them talk, and you keep it moving, because you have no time. I have no time. We have no time to be intimidated by the presence of others and think so little of ourselves. Mm-mm. We don't have time for that. So when you show up without pretense or hesitation, when the world gets to see who you really are, when you're not being a fake and phony, when you show up the way that you were created to be, the world cannot dull your glamour. They cannot put a shade over your light. And most importantly, you will be inspired to shine your light. Shine it. You're going to share it, right? And you're going to help others to tap into their own brilliance. So let's continue to agree that we're going to put an end to the disparaging mindset that begin to own our authentic self. See, that's what You Are You is all about. That's what Yay You is all about. So join me here where we create a safe space, you guys. You know it. You've been here for a while. And we initiate influential conversations about you being you unapologetically, because you are you. You are you unapologetically, and there is no one, absolutely no one, who is better at being you than you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys. I love you guys, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Until then, take care, you guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode. May this transformational discussion shift your mindset so you can live in possibility, so you can step higher in your greatness and stand bolder in your brilliance. Do not wait another minute. Start now to uncover your greatness and begin to fall madly, madly, did I say madly, in love with you. The journey to unleashing and owning your true self doesn't end here. Be sure to subscribe to the show at KimRGrimes.com. Leave a rating and gear up for more conversations like this one. See you on the next episode. And remember, you are not a mistake. You are you, unapologetically.